I attended the last service for the Fairview United Methodist Church this morning. Broke my heart, really brought a tear to my eye to see the congregation. That was it. It was the last service. There won't be another service there unless by providence of God, something changes. They will not have another service. And you know, part of that fits into the service here, the message today, because we're talking about the race. You know, what race do you belong to? What race are you in? And as we go forward, I think you'll see how it connects, because so much of what we call Christianity has segregated itself. We've become segregated. You know, we're this little group or that little group. We go by this tag or that tag, this line, that line, this name, that name, this denomination or that denomination. Instead of being the body of Christ, one united body. And there's no greater evidence of that segregation than we see between people of color and people such as ourselves today. We don't have anybody of color in this congregation, but we don't see any greater segregation than that. Sunday morning, one pastor heard him say, is the most segregated hour of the week, because the folks are not getting together as the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, we've been doing this series of messages on "It is written." I will probably, in every message ever, I will say "It is written," because it is written. And I know that you can beat the devil every time by following Jesus' example of saying it's written and quoting Scripture. It's a little phrase, but it's a powerhouse of a phrase. "It is written, Satan, we shall not be divided. In Christ there is no division. It is written." And that conveys the authority of God's Word, and it enables all of us to be Christ-like. The enemy tempts us into believing anything but God's Word. When we look in God's Word, we do not see division in the body of Christ. At one place, Paul had talked to the believers, and he said, "One of you says I'm of Paul. Another one says I'm of Apollos." He says, "Is Christ divided?" No. And yet we, as the body of Christ today, in our society, we have divided ourselves. It's one of the most destructive things in the church today, that division. One of the most divisive ideas is the man-made idea of race. Oh, Lord help us. People have been taught and they believe that they're separated by race. But in the beginning, when Almighty God created everything, He created everything after its kind. After its kind. Humans were created as humankind. One race. The human race. And that's the race that we all belong to. God made one united human race. And to believe something else is to deny the truth of God's Word. It really is that simple. God made one race. It's the human race. And to deny that, to think that somehow He divided us into separate races afterwards, is to believe a lie from hell. I pray Almighty God will open your heart to receive this truth and resist the devil and watch him flee from you. We need to be a united body. And I really believe if we had not lost our way from the biblical truths that are found in God's Word, we would not have separated into denominations or demoninations, as I sometimes call them. I don't think these are divisions of God. I think they're man's divisions. And I think those divisions have been sparked by demonic activity in the body of Christ. We're not to be a divided body. And that's what's killing the church, I believe. And I propose to guide everybody who hears this message to the truth about race that's found in God's Word. To be sure, it is there. It is there. The Bible doesn't split people by skin color or human labels. No. Enemies of the souls of humans have done this. But why? Why divide us? Why separate us based on any criteria that some human being has designated as a separating idea? I'll tell you, it's to further political agendas. It's to reap material wealth. That's why they do it. You see, people teaching others that they are different enables the purveyors of such rhetoric to profit and to control large populations. That's what's happening. We're all being controlled by what we believe in our minds. Because those thoughts have been planted in us, we're operating from a hidden set of paradigms, and we don't realize that we're dividing ourselves from one another. Teaching people that they're different separates the body of Christ, divides it. The end game is for the world. It seeks to dominate everybody. There is a one world order that's coming into being, and it's going to destroy the church if the church doesn't get in line with it. People's uniting and destroying those divisive constructs would beat them. That's the winning strategy. Jesus came to unite us in Him. He came bringing peace. Peace that passes understanding. Peace between us and Almighty God, the Father. Now, I've searched a number of sources for the definition of race. I want to know, what does this... Because I have my own, you know, prejudicial ideas of what race means. I've been taught race through the stuff that I've been immersed in society. The first thing that some sources list is a competition or a contest. It's a race. And these are to determine the physical speed of contestants. It's like Jim said earlier, it's the race to the refrigerator, whoever gets there first, right? Think of a foot race or a bike race. Think of a car race or a swimming race. Think of horses and dogs. That comes to mind. And all of those have winners and all of them have losers. Regardless of the type of contest, racing has a deep history. My wife, whenever I told her, I woke up, I think it was Wednesday, and the message was on my heart. I had no idea of what had happened in East Pittsburgh. I had no idea that there was another blow up over race, so-called, in our society. But this, I woke up with this. And when I said, I'm going to be preaching on race, and she said, rat race. And I said, oh, that reminds me of Bill Gandit, my friend Bill. He caught that phrase somewhere, and he became so negatized by the world because it is that destructive force of this world that grinds people down that people call the rat race. The rat race. We're all in the rat race. But there's a more sinister and dangerous use of the word race. It says that humankind is divided into groups by physical characteristics. Hair and skin color, eyes, noses, and other things are used to fit people into one of three main divisions. And this isn't my divisions. This is what the world has established as the divisions. Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Negroid. And there's many subdivisions. But the Bible offers no such divisions. There's no divisions like this in the Bible. In fact, I'll tell you what. When we look into science, because maybe science shows us that there's these divisions, right? And that's how we develop this whole construct of dividing people by their skin color or their hair type or whatever else. Well, science, through the Human Genome Project, says that we're all 99.9% the same genetically. Now, that 0.1% does make some significant differences. We have different color hair. We have different structures to our faces, our bodies, our skin color, etc. But we are 99.9% the same according to science. God says one race, the human race, and science says, we can't find those divisions by science. So I want you to open your Bibles now. We're going to start at the third chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm sorry, I forgot to look up the page number in the Pew Bible. I started with a different passage of Scripture, and I had that page number, but then I changed it, and I forgot to go back and fix it this morning. It's Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 26 through 28. It's Galatians chapter 3. Verses 26 through 28. And this is what we're going to hear there. We're going to hear God's Word tell us about the divisions. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We went to verse 29 there. As to God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. Listen to what He says. There is neither white nor black. There is neither yellow nor red. There is neither any other division that you might place upon yourselves in Christ. That's what He's saying. You see, because the Jews thought they were superior to the Greeks or the non-Jews. Men thought they were superior to women. And in their patriarchal society, the men ruled. The women were at a strong disadvantage. The women today do not experience that same disadvantage. Although many women are disadvantaged because our society has done what it has done. Women are nowhere near as disadvantaged as they were at the time when this was written. There's neither slave nor free. Those who were free looked down upon the slaves. That's always been the case. And there have been slaves all through history. Human beings have enslaved others all through history, and it's intolerable. I'm not saying that it's okay. But what He's saying here is, if you're a slave, you are equal to those who are free. That's what He's saying. You're all one in Christ Jesus. You're all Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise, children of Almighty God. Now, turn your page over to Romans chapter 10. You're going to turn back a few books. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to just read a few pages or a few verses there, beginning at verse 8 and reading through verse 12. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 8 through 12. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is, listen, no distinction between Jew and Greek. And there we could say, there is no distinction between African and European. We could say there is no distinction between Mexican and Scandinavian. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then He goes on there to say, how will they hear if nobody preaches, and how will they preach if they're not sent, and who will send, and so on and so forth. These divisions that we see in our society are man-made constructs, and they are deliberately used to divide us from one another. And it's sad. After I started preparing for this message, I learned of a young 17-year-old man who was shot down there in the borough of East Pittsburgh. And we've all heard of times when police shoot an unarmed man. I looked into this a little bit. I listened to some of the reports. I saw the video that was captured. I also listened to some people talk about the law. The law permits police to use deadly force in stopping someone from escaping. That's the law in Pennsylvania. I'm not saying that's right. This killing, like so many others, has people of all colors all ages, and all types protesting and demanding justice. But sadly, their efforts are misplaced. If they want to have justice, then they need to go to their legislators and they need to push for a change in the law. That's the truth of it. Because that officer, by the law's standard, had the right, and I'm not saying it's correct or it's right, to shoot that young boy. It's not right in my eyes. I don't believe that young man should have been killed, even if he had committed a crime. The policeman is not the judge, jury, and executioner. Judge Dredd did that in a movie one time, remember? I am the law. These kind of horrible events trigger hatred, and they trigger fear. And they build and fortify barriers between non-believers and believers alike. I had no idea when I started this message that this event had taken place or would take place, and I don't know in what sequence it happened. I just know when I woke up that day, God gave me the message to preach today. I simply had to pull out the scriptures, and I had to build some of the text in between. This killing's like so many others. It has people with different color skin and varying national origins distrusting one another. These are the United States. We're becoming the divided states. We're divided on so many different levels. As I mentioned earlier about the churches have become divided. Everybody in society is divided. We've become a nation of I's. I, me, I want mine. And we need to be a united body of Christ to combat this kind of thing in our society. Our prayers are with all who are affected by this tragic death. We need to remove the false divisions that are caused by race language. We need to divide that out of the picture. We need to cut it out of the picture. Especially in the church. There's no black church. There's no white church. We're all members of the church. It's written Christ guides us to the way of peace. It's written that He teaches us peace. He taught peace. And at the same time, He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Because what He was saying is, when you come to follow me, you've got to divide from everybody who isn't. Christ is our peace. He brought peace between us and God. If ever separation between people and certain groups of people existed, it's written no such separation is valid in Christ. We just read from a couple of scriptures, but I've got some more for you. The divisions that we experience today were alive at the time of Christ. That's why what was written was written. Because there's no more Jew, there's no more Greek. They had the same kind of problem. They had strife between different groups. Jews believed they were superior because they were chosen of God. After all, they were His bride, right? But then He divorced them. But then He remarried them. And that's when He made the way for non-Jews to join in. That's when He cleared the path. That's when He said there's no more division. We've looked at that before. We had people that were crying, as I recall, when we talked about how God broke down that separation between us and Himself through Jesus Christ. You know, it's written, what if God, wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom He called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And as He says also in Hosea, I will call them My people who were not My people, and her beloved who was not beloved. He foretold He was going to do it. God said, I'm going to make you all one. I'm going to take people that were not part of My family of people that began with Abraham, and I'm going to bring them in. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not My people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Now that's all written in Romans chapter 9, verses 22 to 26, and he's quoting from Hosea. It's written that Peter said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Do you think you're better because of your skin color? Do you think you're better because of the lack of skin color? God shows no partiality. Oh, no. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. That's found in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. In Acts 15, this is what's written. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as He did to us and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And this goes back to that distinction that was made by the Jews and the Gentiles. You're separate. You're lesser. We're greater. That was their fight. It's the same fight that we have today. It's the same fight. We have class wars. We have discrimination based on skin color or the lack of it. It happens on both sides of the fence. I've personally experienced it. And I know it. I know it having been discriminated on because of my skin color. And I know it because I've been discriminated against because I have associated with people of color. And I know what it's like to be discriminated against. Now, have I experienced all the discrimination that other people groups have? No. But I refuse to partake in that. I will not. Anybody who knows me knows that for certain. Peter said there's no distinction between us and them. The same with any group that you might think you're better than or less than. There's no distinction in Christ between you and them. In Ephesians chapter 2, it's written, For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You know, these states that formed the United States, they became a melting pot. How many of you remember hearing that phrase in your growing up, in your education? We're a melting pot. We're a melting pot. We melt together. We become one. We become united. But no longer. Now we have forces, insidious forces, that are fighting to divide us against one another. No, they don't want us to trust each other. They don't want us to have unity. They don't want us to have a bonding that we could stand up united against any enemy, whether foreign or domestic. Are you holding on to human distinctions, partiality, divisions? Are you claiming that you're different or better or more blessed because you're of one or another national heritage? And I've heard many different people. I remember Irish people picking on me because of my Italian heritage. I'm serious. Now, it didn't bother me, but I remember it. And I know for some people, that's a real serious issue. The Italians, especially from the southern part of Italy and Sicily, where my family comes from, there were raids. Those areas were raided frequently. And there were people that came in of color who raided. And they bore children. And some of those children lived. And they became those people from Sicily, darker skinned. That's the truth of it. Somebody reminded me of that. He said, you know, 500 years ago, the Moors came over and raided Italy, the southern tip of Italy. You probably have black blood in you, John. I said, well, praise God. If that's the way it is, that doesn't cause me any harm. I praise God. Maybe that's part of what has helped me not to have a prejudicial attitude against other people. You claiming that you're better or different or more blessed? Do you claim superiority because of your skin color or the lack of color? Or is your axe to grind on some other ethnic background? Like I mentioned, the Italians and the Irish. You have to stop. This has to be stopped, especially in the body of Christ. This is a lie from hell. This is not something that God says for us to do. The enemy of souls has tricked us into a lie as a society. He's tricked the church into a lie. Almighty God's the God of all. And for as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible tells us we're not to be divided. And if we are living divided lives, we're sinning. I'm going to call it what it is, folks, because we're going contrary to the Word of God. God's Word shows us that we are united. Almighty God's a God of all. Race. What race do you belong to? We're all members of the human race. We're all members of the human race. You know, there was a time when I was still running from God, didn't want to do His work. When I was very limited in my funds, I didn't have insurance. And I needed some dental work. A friend of mine, the lawyer I mentioned once before, who I mentioned, it is written. And he said, it's written. And he chastised me on believing in the Bible. He had taken me to a dental clinic in Homewood. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Homewood. It's down there in the city of Pittsburgh. And Homewood was a predominantly black or African-American neighborhood. And so I go into this clinic, and of course I'm the light-skinned guy in the neighborhood there now. And I sit down, and a lady calls me up, and she gives me a piece of paper and says, fill this out. And it says, you know, your name and address, etc., and insurance and all that. And then it said, race. And it had all these little check boxes. Black, white, Native American, Pacific Islander, all this different stuff. And so I didn't see a check box for my race, so I wrote it in, human. And that's what she did. She laughed. When she saw it, she laughed. She said, you're right. I said, yeah, I know I'm right. I belong to the human race. There's not a black race. There's not a white race. There's not a Pacific Islander race. There's not a Native American race. We're all of the human race. And yes, there are distinctions in our skin. Yes, there are distinctions in the way that we look. Yes, there may be distinctions in our hair and our skin color and whatever else, physical characteristics. But we're all in the human race. In Christ, we have no divisions by the things of this world. And the church of the risen Lord must lead the way out of social distinctions that place barriers between members of His body. Well, now, to be honest, the Bible does use the word race. We'll look at a couple of passages there, and I just want to be clear that you understand we are in another race. Open to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. In the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 810. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to just read the first three verses. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is where we hear about the race that we belong to. The other race. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is what's written there. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, I'm going to pause there for a moment. Who knows what a snare is? It's a trap. And it locks onto you and it doesn't let go. That's what he's talking about. Okay? The sin locks onto us, doesn't let go. Lay aside those weights. Lay aside that sin which captures you. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We're in a race. We're part of the human race, but we're also part of the race to the finish line. The race to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What race? Nobody told you you were in a race? When you signed up to be a believer, nobody said, well, now you're in a race. You got to compete for the prize. You got to stay on track. If you get off track, you're not going to make it. Nobody told you that part. In fact, much of Christianity today ignores this whole teaching on being in a race. Being a part of that race. Nobody tells you that. But that's the only other race you belong to other than the human race. It's that dash between your birth date and your death date. That's the race. The dash. In between. And you got to look behind those human designations, those human distinctions, the human partialities and prejudices and divisions as you dash from your birth date to your death date. You've got to get past those things that separate you from other people. Join yourself to the body of Christ and free yourself from those classifications that separate you from others. Look to Jesus as your guide. He's the author, and he's the finisher of your faith. You got to keep your eye on him. He's where you're going. He's who you're following. That's the race that you're in. Keep yourself united to him. Now, I want you to hear what's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And he's saying, you might be excluded. That's what he's saying. It's very clear the way that it's written. And then, in Colossians chapter 3, it's written, lie not one to another. Lie not one to another. What do you think it is if you're saying, I'm of this race, or I'm of that race, or I'm of the other race? Is that the truth? Unless you're saying, I'm of the human race, it's a lie. Because there is no black race. There is no white race. There is no Chicano race, or Mexican race, or Spanish, or Hispanic, or whatever the words are that are used. There is no Native American race. And if you call yourself of a race, then you're lying. Because there's a human race, and there's a race to the finish line, that marriage supper of the Lamb. But to call yourself of a race, you're lying. And the Scripture says, lie not one to another. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither, once again, Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Do you hear the consistency in the Scripture? There is no division between you and other people groups. If you are in Christ, you are all one. We're all children of God. God's call for his people is holiness unto him. We're called out of anything and everything that separates us from each other and everything and anything that separates us from him. And lying separates us. It separates us from each other and it separates us from him. We are not of all these different labels that have been put on humans. We are of the human race. We are humankind. And we are to be kind one unto another. That's what the Word tells us. In Christ, all divisions are absolutely dissolved like everything else that binds human souls to untruth. You know, as I was thinking about this message, I became a little bit stressed because the more that I looked at this issue of what happened in East Pittsburgh, the borough of East Pittsburgh, not to be confused with the city of Pittsburgh or Pittsburgh City, The more I looked at this situation, I thought, you know, there's people that could get hostile about this message because I'm taking away from them something that they hold on to very dearly. There are people who claim to be of this race or that race or the other race. You know, you think about these people. And you say, well, they could get pretty upset about this because I'm pointing out through the Bible that what they're saying is at least incorrect. At worst, it's a blatant lie. And then I got to thinking, I read an article in the newspaper that was talking about race. It was in the newspaper last week sometime. I don't remember when now. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know. I'm behind on reading the paper. I've got 2 days sitting there now. But this article mentioned Booker T. Washington. He's known for his many achievements. He was an author, an educator, a speaker, and he also advised presidents. He was a dominant leader in the African American community for about 25 years, between 1890 and 1915. He understood the barriers that attitudes put between people. He understood the barriers that prejudices about skin color presented. He knew those barriers. He was a man of color. He's quoted as having said, one man cannot hold another man down in the ditch without remaining down in the ditch with him. Now, you may have heard that saying, didn't know that it was him that said it. But think about it. If you jump in a ditch to hold somebody down, you're keeping yourself down too. Do we want to see our nation become great again, as so many people are proclaiming? Let's get rid of those divisions. Let's quit holding each other into ditches. Let's uplift each other. Let's raise everybody up to the highest good that we can all reach. Truth is that that idea plays out in the modern church today. Some churches are holding other churches down in the ditch. Jesus said, forgive and you'll be forgiven. Don't and you won't. That's what Jesus said. And there are people that are holding deep-seated anger, hatred, unforgiveness against other people because of things that happened nearly 200 years ago. Now, I'm not saying that those things are okay. I'm not saying that it's all right that those things happened. But to hold on to unforgiveness because somebody taught you that something happened to somebody else, and to project anger on people who did not participate in that, is wrong. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, you need to stop doing it. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Don't and you won't. Booker T. Washington wrote, or maybe he was quoted, I'm not sure, I didn't read the whole thing. In chapter 5 of The Intellectuals and the Boston Mob, on page 118, if you want to look it up for yourself, page 118, he wrote, or was quoted, there is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. That's nearly 100 years ago. In that article, the man quoted statistics from the first 100 years after slavery, and then he quoted statistics from the next 100, which we're in now. It's not quite 100, second 100. He said the people of color were doing much better in the first 100 years after slavery than they are from the second half after slavery, the second 100 years. And why is that? He pointed to this quote as why. Because there are people who are furthering their political agendas. There are people who are fattening their pockets and their portfolios over this idea of race separating us. And if they can keep us separated by color, or they can keep us separated by national origin, by God, they're going to do their best to do it. And they're doing that for themselves. They're not doing it for the people that they're proclaiming upon. They push division based upon skin color and the wrongs that people experienced in the past and present. They These politicians of all nationalities profit from so-called racial issues. And this hinders all who are called to run Christ's race. They push the wrongs and hardships to fatten their own pockets. And the race that's set before all of us, those wrongs that happened, they get in the way when we keep putting them up. Those wrongs are intolerable. There's no doubt about that. Those in the past, those in the present. This young man should not be dead right now. The 17-year-old boy in East Pittsburgh Borough should not be dead right now. It's intolerable. I remember years ago, a friend of mine, set up by the police because they didn't like him, because they didn't like his family. And they took him to court over some things and found him guilty of receiving stolen property. He found dogs that were running loose in the middle of winter, and he tried to rescue the dogs from the cold. But because the man who set them free was a University of Pittsburgh police officer, he had inside connections. And he proclaimed that the dogs were stolen, even though he had admitted to letting the dogs loose in that snowstorm, in the bitter cold, to go for a walk and do their business. I've seen prejudice. I've experienced prejudice. I know what prejudice is. It's intolerable. But let's not tear the society apart. Let's get rid of the prejudice. Let's get rid of the racial divisions. Let's get rid of these labels and these human constructs that are dividing us from one another. Let's all be people together. I remember the time when that man, Rodney King, and Los Angeles was beaten by police officers. And during the middle of the riots, he came on television and he said, "Can't we all just get along?" I believe the man's heart was for everybody to get along. He didn't want to see the kind of destruction that was happening. And I don't believe any of us want to see that happening in our society, because it breaks down the moral fabric of our society. It makes it that much easier for the next group to come along and shut down a major interstate highway. It's intolerable. All of those wrongs are intolerable. But so is profiting from dividing humans from one another. That too is intolerable. That race that's set before us is to eliminate the unbiblical lines. That's what it takes. If we want to get to that race, get it over with, get to the end, we want to receive the prize, we need to get rid of those unbiblical lines that are dividing us. We need to run together. We need to help one another. We need to foster unity in the body of Christ so that we are working together. Profiting from dividing humankind from one another is sin. No matter where those lines are drawn or who drew them, we need to work together to get rid of them. As I've said, Almighty God makes no such distinctions. He doesn't divide us on skin color. He doesn't divide us on all of those other things that we use to separate ourselves. Run the race as one who plans to win. Don't run the race based on your skin color, regardless of what the color of your skin is. Separating yourself, regardless of whatever criteria you use, but separating yourself is a sure way to fail to make the finish line. If you're running a race and you stumble, your fellow racers could run right past you. But in Christian love, we're not going to run past. We're going to be like the Good Samaritan. We're going to stop. We're going to render aid. We're going to assist our brother or our sister. We're going to help them. We're going to edify them. We're going to build them up. We're going to encourage them. We're going to help them make the finish line. As I close, I ask you, what race? What race do you belong to? And you know the answer now is the human race and the race to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those are the races that you belong to. Humankind drives wedges of emotion between you and others. There's no doubt about that. We know that that happens. Every time you turn on your television, every time I look online anymore, I'm seeing division, 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 division. If you want to please Almighty God, we need to drop these distinctions. If we want to please Almighty God, we've got to drop those designations, those human constructs. If we want to please Almighty God, we've got to get rid of the partitions. There's one body, one Lord, one Spirit. That's what His Word says. We need to get rid of the divisions. We need to get rid of the partialities that we have. Well, I'm partial to these folks, or I'm partial to those folks. I'm not partial to those ones. We need to get rid of the prejudices. We need to get rid of discrimination. And part of the way that we can get rid of discrimination is to get rid of all this rhetoric that's being pushed on us almost every day now to divide ourselves from others based on skin color or hair or eyes or noses or whatever else they use. Look to Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. We're all children of Almighty God through faith. God's no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears Him and works righteousness is accepted with Him. That's in Acts chapter 10. That's twice we hear God is no respecter of persons. Follow Him, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, yeah, that's the race that we all belong to, that one to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that is what we need to focus on. We need to take our attention off of all these distractions. We need to break free. And we need to call our brothers and sisters in Christ to do the same thing. Let's all work together in running that race to that final goal, where Christ is King, and all of us serve together without distinction. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for giving me this message. I pray, Lord, that it falls on receptive ears, that each of us would recognize that we belong to two races, the human race and the race to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Help us, Lord, to live as if there are no divisions, even when others would place them in our path. Help us, Lord, to realize that there is a class of people who keep this idea of troubles and wrongs and hardships in front of others because they make a business of it. It's how they enrich themselves. Help us, Father, to break free from that bondage. Help us, Lord, to live as followers of Christ. Help us not to believe what the enemy tempts us to believe. We know that we are Your people if we love You and follow Your commandments. And Your Word teaches us that we are not to be divided on any front. We are to stand separate from this world and yet embracing others and bringing them in to become a part of the family, that family which You have made. And that one human race, that united human race, is the one that we all belong to. Help us, Lord, to help others to realize that believing anything else is to deny the truth of Your Word. And to accept anything else is to embrace lies from hell. I pray, Lord, that You would open each one's heart to receive Your truth, resist the devil, and have him flee. And I pray this in Jesus' name and lift up to You the family of this young man who was killed, the police officer and his family and everybody in the community, Lord, who are outraged over this situation. Help us all to realize the truth about race that's found in Your Word. And help us not to split by skin color or human labels, I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing our final hymn.